Well, good afternoon, everyone. And it's going to be a very, very short news analysis today because the tape is particularly long. It's an hour and 40 minutes. So it will just be really a commentary on a couple of items that I've seen in the news literally in the last 3 days. There's been a fair amount in the news over the last 3 days on a particular remark that was made by a British Euro MP in the European Parliament. And I just thought I might comment a little bit on that and just talk a little bit about the way in which the Europe that is actually to form and the Europe that is destined to form has a link very clearly with Babylon. And Babylon is a twisting, you know, Babel literally means a twisting of the word. It means confusion. And certainly the things that we've seen in the news here in the last 3 days certainly have borne this out. The article was the British Euro MP accused of the Hitler law remark. And it said a Conservative Euro MP was caught in controversy yesterday after he was accused of likening a plan backed by the German President of the European Parliament to the law that gave Hitler absolute power. Daniel Hannan, a former a Euro MP from South East England, compared the move to tighten the European parliamentary rules with the 1933 Enabling Act that suspended parts of the German constitution and gave Hitler sweeping powers, sweeping authority. Now that was the article itself, and in the Telegraph, Mr. Hannan himself describes a little bit about his remark. He says, yesterday the European Parliament departed from any pretense of legality. Riled by the protests of a handful of members who had been calling for referendums on the European Constitution, now called the Lisbon Treaty, MEPs voted to give their president arbitrary powers to disapply the rules as he saw fit. What drove them to such extreme steps? Some massive filibuster that was preventing any bill being passed? Hardly. A handful of MEPs have been exercising their right to explain, after each vote, why they voted as they did in not more than 60 seconds. So basically we're going to try and stop this particular explanation being given as to why certain people voted as they did. It says, I suppose I can understand why. No one likes to be reminded of a promise that he's been broken, and most MEPs were in favour of referendums on the European Constitution until it became clear that they would lose. The no votes left them feeling vulnerable, and they wondered, for it's a human nature to place yourself in the centre of the universe, how their compatriots had drifted so far away from them. Not the other way around, notice. This is that way around. Even so, their reaction to us was stunning. After 8 years of the European Parliament, not much can shock me. I was prepared for hypersensitivity, intolerance of dissent, readiness to bend the rules, but nothing had prepared me for such blatancy. In a letter to the Constitutional Affairs Committee, the president of a likeable German called Hans Geert Pottinger admitted that our protests had all been technically within the rules, and he wasn't asking to change those rules. No, what he wanted was permission to disapply them. In other words, it's not change, we're just disapplying them. It's like, it's not a constitution, it's a treaty. And it's this twisting of words that you continually find within the Europe, particularly today. It goes on, it says, their greatest boast and their constant justification is that they've spread democracy across Europe. That's why it's so outrageous to see them disregarding the rules when the rules don't suit them. It is precisely this behaviour that has turned people against the European project. Yes, because yes votes are being treated as final and binding. No votes are merely obstacles to be overcome. And that is the way, that's the way it is. It says, unaudited accounts are treated as a small price to pay for the goal of closer integration, and the end justifies the means. Now, we need to be aware, as we watch what is happening in Europe, and we watch what is actually forming in Europe at this present time, the basis that God gives to this eventual hodgepodge union that will be there. And it is likened to Babylon the Great. It has the same characteristics as Babylon the Great, even though the church that is allied to it also has this characteristics, because there's a church which is syncretic, which mixes the truth with error and comes up with a certain religion. Another article, this was a comment on MPs without authority. It said, there should have been only one story in Parliament this week. The ratification of the European Constitution, now called the Lisbon Treaty. The adoption of this text will fundamentally and irrevocably alter the temper of the nation. Now this is in the last 3 days. And in fact, Mr. Gordon Brown has been away. He hasn't even participated in the debate. And yet, as far as the country is concerned, by far the biggest story has involved MPs who employ their wives. Now, it's pretty standard business in over here anyway, that if you're a small businessman and your wife is doing anything for the business whatsoever, you employ her and you get a tax concession accordingly. And MPs were doing this. But it became ludicrous in the way that they actually did it, because they employed all the various children that were at college and everything else, and they were doing absolutely nothing. So you can understand the anger at it. But even so, when you're looking at the contrast between the two, it's absurd what has actually happened. It says the two stories might oddly be connected. The constant low-level anger that voters now feel for their representatives owes a good deal to the sense that MPs are parasites. The parasitical. The powers they once exercised are now wielded by quangos, judges, Whitehall bureaucrats and EU officials. Ceasing to be authoritative, they have become contemptible. And in consequences, voters get much more upset about their salaries and expenses than they did a generation ago. So I thought that was quite a good comment. And again, it is this double talk, and this double talk that is constantly actually coming out. Let's just remind ourselves, over in John 8, it's a passage I turn to a good deal, but in John 8, where Christ talks about this, and we need to understand that we have got to have a view which is radically different from what we see within society today. Because it says in John 8 verse 30, it says, as he spoke these words, many believe on him. So he's speaking certain words, he was teaching, he was expressing certain things. And then said Jesus to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my students, my disciples indeed. It is the word that is coming from Christ. And even the entire book of John is about, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And it was from him that everything was made. And it is the word. It says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will actually set you free. So when we're looking at a free society in the future, it is going to be on the truth, which is coming from the very word of God. In verse 43, it says, why don't you understand my speech? Why can't you understand these words I'm talking to you about? It says, even because you can't hear my word. It just doesn't sink in. It doesn't register. And Mr. Armstrong in the tape today is going to bring out that a little bit about, you know, those that have ears to hear, let them hear. He says that at the end. He says, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and didn't stay in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, or that's his own resource, for he's a liar and he's a father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. In other words, this contrast, this huge contrast that is there, is something that we need to be aware of, and it is there continually when we look at Europe. Another news item, this is from Thursday's paper. Teenagers must, quote, must take up ID cards to get bank account. Now, not only has the government therefore called the Constitution a treaty, and therefore denied a referendum, which they'd promised in their election manifesto. They'd promised this, and therefore they basically lied. But what they'd done is they twisted the wording in order to do this. They've also been talking about having the ID cards, and they've been giving it as a means of combating terrorism. Now, what has happened, however, is that in so many cases there have been databases by government departments that have gone missing in some ways. People have left laptops, the Ministry of Defence have left laptops lying in cars which have been stolen. There have been CDs in the post, sent through the normal posts, containing database records of the family credit system and all the various records associated with it that disappeared and nobody can find them. And there is a little catalogue of these things. But here it says, teenagers will be made to take up the identity cards in order to open bank accounts or qualify for student funding, leaked government documents disclosed last night. Now that is not only just happening over here, that's also happening in America as well. The reason why we bank over here rather than over in America is the way that the American banking system is set up. You don't have to go ahead and register and incorporate with the government to receive charitable status over in America. a church automatically has that by the constitutional right. So what have the government done? They've basically made the banks insist on an incorporation number before you can have a bank account. So they do it by the back door. And it's exactly the same thing here regarding students. It says this led to accusations that the ministers are planning to blackmail young people into taking part in the beleaguered ID card scheme. And the plan is contained in a confidential Home Office report leaked to the Conservative Party. And the document also shows that widespread issuing of ID cards to British subjects could be put back until the end, until after the next election. In other words, we won't talk about it in the actual election itself. But I want you to notice that this talk is not—it's not plain truth. It's nuanced. It's the same thing that we find over in Genesis 3, where Satan approaches Eve and she says, "Has God said you couldn't take of all the trees in the garden?" Now, that's not what God said. God was a word. He said, look, he says, of all the trees, you can eat everything, but don't take of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, because when you do, dying you will die. From that point, you will start to die. Now, Satan lied. He says, you're not going to die. But he twisted, the wording was twisted, and this is what we see continually. We see it within governments, we see it with, particularly within the EU, and it's something we need to be aware of, we need to be watching, and we need to be aware that where this is coming from. It's coming from a mindset, it's coming from a satanic mindset, and it is going to be coming more and more and more as the days go on.